Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
We're joined on the line by Dundalk manager Vinnie Perth. Evening, Vinnie.
How you doing? How's it going, Joe? How are you?
Very well. Where in the world are you?
Just at home, up in sunny City West, keeping myself nice and safe and everyone around. So that's where we're at the moment.
So this is obviously a very worrying time for everybody on a host of different levels. For the League of Ireland, things are postponed, like everything else, and League of Ireland clubs are very vulnerable to this whole situation, and we've seen various clubs unable to pay wages at the moment. I saw, thankfully, Dundalk are in a position where they can still pay the players.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, without stating the obvious, obviously the bigger community and the wider community and is more important than football at this stage. So absolutely concerned about everybody and everything else around the world. But yeah, I suppose it was a strange one when you got confirmation that, you know, everything was sound in Dundalk, and you see other clubs having to announce the opposite as such in terms of not being able to pay players. So it left you with a strange feeling, because I didn't want to be the one saying, oh, we're all right, Jack. And, you know, there's people in our community who in Dundalk who have lost their jobs. I was in around Dundalk today, and people around there have lost jobs, and companies, big companies, have shut down and put people on temporary leave. So it almost feels like you should say nothing. But at the same time, it's important that clubs send out a message as well, and they let people know that, you know, that there is positive news as such around League of Ireland. So it was important we got that message out there, but at the same time, I was very wary. I know I spoke to Neil Fenn, Cork's manager, just to wish him well and hope everything goes well for them people. So it was a strange feeling, actually. It wasn't one where you punch the air and say, yeah, we're all right and we've got our money and to hell with everyone else. It's far from that. So but there's no doubt it's good news. Good news for the league to see not just ourselves, other clubs have been able to withstand the next couple of months, 12 weeks, whatever it may be.
Was Dundalk very quiet this afternoon?
It was, yeah. It was very eerie and like in around the ground. Normally, our ground would be sort of, I wouldn't say open to the public, but very often we'd be training and people would come in and have a look, and bar sort of the minus one training session, we'd never have a real problem with that. You'd often see people, particularly in the grass area we use, it's near a public sort of walkway. People would often stop and chat to players if they were hanging around, or they'd walk into the ground at different stages and have a look. And we've never really been against that. But in the ground today, it was strange. The gates are locked after me. There's only three or four members of staff there just tidying up and putting stuff away, literally. And so it was very eerie, and it's a strange time. You know, the drive from where I live to Dundalk at 9 o'clock takes me 45, 50 minutes. Normally it takes me an hour and a half, so it just shows you the world is in, or the country is close to lockdown as can be.
Yeah, it's all very surreal. I didn't realise that actually about Dundalk training in normal times being effectively open to the community, which is a lovely thing.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be an open training session. We've often had open training sessions, but we quite often have people just literally walking past who'll come in and say hello. We've had some wonderful experiences. We had, people travel from different parts of the world and just turn up to get a picture outside the ground. You know, that's what people do. With a girl from Canada over, and her father originated from Dundalk, and maybe 40 years before that, 40, 50 years ago, he used to go to watch games. She came out for a photograph. I don't know, I won't take the credit for it. I don't know who spotted her outside, asked her what she was doing. She came into the ground and she met all the players and got a photograph, left in tears of joy. Like, so I suppose that's what football is all about. It's probably why we all miss football and sport, because there is that human element to it where it brings so many people together.
So what will you be doing professionally now over the coming weeks, or what will the players be doing? Training on their own, presumably, for in the short term?
Yeah, like I suppose the last sort of 10 days have been really, really busy for me, actually, ironically, because we were planning to play Sligo, I think around the 3rd of April, you know, was the time originally set out. So you spend a week on, we could be back on the 3rd of April, and, you know, you've got this sort of, the virus there, you've got people telling you, you can't do this, can't do that, and you're like, well, that's 3 weeks away. So last week, there was a huge amount of planning going on, there was a huge amount of individual training sessions. We'd have a couple of players who would live together, so effectively, if they can live together, they could have trained together in ones and twos. So we were managing all that, and then, you know, you do manage somewhere in the region of 30 people. It's something you forget about. You're a coach, but actually, when it comes to times like this, you end up you're a manager as such. So people come to you, they all have their own concerns with families and different things. So
yeah.
It was a really, really busy week. And then we had, obviously, yeah, we're training players individually. Again, last week with April in mind, even though I probably knew it wasn't going to happen, now we've a bit more time, and it's very difficult with athletes. They just don't want to stop. And the air players had November, December effectively off, so they don't want to stop, and you're trying to control, they don't do too much, and there's a fair bit of management involved. And the new fancy word in sport now around training is periodization, and we've got to now really plan ahead of the season starting back, and hopefully in June. And Europe is so important to us, we've got to get it right.
Yeah, June 19th is the date at the moment, and everything at the moment comes with that asterisk, doesn't it? That could change very, very quickly, very, very easily, but June 19th at the moment is the plan. I mean, I would take that now, I have to say. That would be optimistic, I suspect. But if you can get back on June 19th, what will you do in the meantime? Will you just batten down the hatches personally? Like, there's not much you can do, really.
No, there's not a lot. Like, you'd be surprised, as I said to you, you don't... when it's 35 people and it's full-time, then you're managing 35 people. So it's effectively like a small business you run, and you've got 35 people with 3 and 4 and 5 different people in their lives, and they all have different things. So we'll manage the players, we manage their workloads. Me personally, for the last week, I was in the ground every day. I felt it was important I was there. You know, we've got staff who work around the ground, and this bit of downtime with the good weather has given them an opportunity, you know, to clean certain areas. And I have given a dig out. I've had paintbrushes in my hand. I've given a dig out with our groundsmen. You know, it's a bit of unity amongst ourselves, and some of the staff have picked up paintbrushes. So, but that has to sort of, you know, with what the government announced yesterday, that has to more or less stop now. So, it's as simple as out running, reading books, managing the time as well you can, and we keep in the way the world has got so small, we keep in regular contact with the players. And like, for example, they had a run to do today, and I'm able to see basically everyone's times on them runs today and what they did.
Right. Yeah, I guess that sense of you as a group maintaining contact in some way, because these players will be incredibly close, and we hear from retired players that suddenly losing out on the dressing room is a difficult enough thing. So I'm sure a lot of the players are having almost withdrawal symptoms to being in a fun environment as a group day after day after day. And when you throw that on top of the stress that everybody is under, then as just a typical cross-section of individuals, there are going to be some lads who are really struggling with this right now.
Yeah, of course. And that's my biggest concern, not just around their team or around football people, is the mental health. Now you'll get people who, like, and you see it in their own squad, you get some people who will just binge on away trips on Netflix. I can't see how you could binge on Netflix for 3 and 4 weeks at a time. It's just it's not good for the head. You'll get some people who'd be glad to play Fortnite or FIFA or whatever the case may be. I suppose what I've done is I've dropped them in. They obviously, I presume, or I know for a fact, they have their own WhatsApp group
where they bitch about you.
Absolutely, yeah. So which is part. I did it as a player, so once you know that, it's half of the battle. But I'll drop them certain podcasts maybe, or recommend different books to people. you can only recommend, but ultimately it's not everyone's cup of tea to read a book or to do different things. We encourage them to get out where it's safe. And again, dressing room banter is something that most normal people, as in people outside of sport or dressing rooms like that, don't understand. But it is so important to young people. It's the one thing players will tell you when they retire, that they miss it. They miss, even if you were the one that generally got the mickey taken out, you miss going into that dressing room. You miss that sort of that banter. You miss people hiding your boots or your shoes or your shower gel, and it keeps you young. And so ultimately they will miss that, and it's important that they keep their focus. Athletes at this level, and you'd have so many of them on your show, they're so focused. They're focused every day. Even on holidays, they're doing certain things. And now, to be honest with you, it's very hard to keep footballers focused at the moment.
Yeah,
very
hard. A lot of type A personalities who want to be continuously improving, and they're doing just the opposite of that right now. And itchy feet, to say the least, is a problem. I know when you were in here before, we talked about various different things, and self-learning or self-improvement is something that you're very keen on. What kind of books are you pushing to the lads, or what ones will you be reading yourself over the next couple of weeks? If you want to give a recommendation, we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose to name drop one, I go through phases where when I'm out of season or I'm not too busy, I do a lot of reading, but then when games start, I tend not to read too much or listen to too much, because you have to find your own way, I feel, and I feel that's important. You have your own style, and only a book can give you a little bit of guidance. But to name drop, Jim Gavin, I had a chat with at Christmas, and he was very good to me, but he recommended Bill Walsh, The Score Looks After Itself. So if someone like Jim Gavin recommends that to me, by the time I was home, it was already ordered and it was delivered a couple of days. But things like, you know, there is the likes of The Legacy, you know, about the All Blacks. I think that's important that our players understand that type of stuff. I've just finished the book Relentless, and there's a lot of teams in that I would follow. But for me, and I've got Eddie Jones to start, and don't start me on Eddie Jones, but it's, again, you're always looking to pick something out of different bits and pieces. So, but the big one for me is The Score Takes Care of Itself at the moment. It's been a fascinating read, and it's one of them that I've probably made more highlighted marks on that book than any other book. So it's been really good.
What about family then, Vinny? I'm sure it's an adjustment for everybody concerned. What impact is that having?
Yeah, well, I suppose I would be quite lucky in the sense of my family would be, you know, daughter 17, son is 11. We have my wife in her mid-40s, so we'd be healthy and in a good position. Parents aren't too old, but as we know, it's why you're nearly afraid to do loads of interviews last week, and you're sort of running away from them, because it's changing every day, and we don't know whether people of certain ages are affected or not affected, all this stuff. So it's one of them where you have to keep yourself to yourself, and keep in contact with people. A lot of brothers around the same age, younger, so everybody healthy and well. So again, it's that thing of, you just don't know what's around the corner. This thing is moving so quickly. And it's same with our players. We've got people, you know, of all ages, with parents really old, normal age or as such for parents, as in the mid-60s, and we've got all that stuff. So we're the same as everybody else in society. And this is the one thing this hasn't done, is it doesn't matter much money you are. You can't get on a plane and fly somewhere. We're all in this together. So, it's the same for everybody.
It sure is. You mentioned there, so I mean, we're only 5 games into the season, and hopefully we do find a way to finish it down the line, albeit, and you mentioned it already, we acknowledge this is far from the most important thing, and that goes without saying as well. You said there Europe is very important. So do you mean that financially, or just from, you know, in terms of our ambition? And when is Europe planned to start for you guys, or is all that on hold? I haven't quite seen where we are in terms of qualification for next year.
Well, again, everything is changing. So we'd expect Europe to start, if everything settles down, for want of a better word, but around middle of July, end of July is normally the time it starts for us. So I have to plan for that. Financially, it's not the be-all and end-all, despite what people say. But I suppose within our group, it's a huge drive for us. It's what we I believe makes us better because, again, without sounding corny, it's like I mentioned that book to you, you know, and it's probably why Jim recommended it to me if I read from what in to what he would have done with the Dublin team is that the league will look after itself if we strive to be a European club. So the league, the domestic stuff looks after itself. It's like the score looks after itself effectively. So, yeah, Europe is about making people better. You'd have players of a certain age who'll say, we've only got one, two, three more goals at this. You'll have young players who'll be saying, if I do really well at this, I might be the next Horgan or Boyle. I might get capped internationally. So everyone will have different reasons as to why they want it. But for some reason, as a group, it is what drives us. It is what keeps us on our toes. And you need something to aim for. So
yes.
Europe is really important.
Yeah, get you out of your comfort zone. Strive, effectively. Strive for constant improvement. And Europe will always have somewhere else for you to go as a team.
Yeah, I suppose whether it's ourself or if whoever Shamrock Rovers recently or whoever the case may be, you can stay on top in your league domestically without too much difficulty. And what I mean by that is you'll always have one or two teams coming at you, but a small bit more investment will get you there, and you may get caught for a season or two, but. To go to Europe, then again, as I said, you don't need to worry about clubs chasing you if you're striving to go up another level. And I've seen that, you know, I see particularly yourself and Shamrock Rovers, the level of detail, the level of, you know, the training grounds, what both clubs are doing. The two of us are chasing Europe, I feel. I see it with Linfield up the north, they're chasing that Europe. They had a taste of it last year. So I believe that's how you make yourself better. People will say you need... you know, when we go out of Europe, people will say, oh, that's because they don't play good opposition. I don't think that's solely the reason. I think it's a small part of it, very small. I think you've got to drive yourself towards Europe, and ultimately you make yourself better, your club better, your players better. And the league will have a knock-on effect, I feel, then if you do that.
Well, hopefully we're talking about those games soon. In the meantime, rest up, take it easy, stay safe. Vinnie Pert, Dundalk manager. Thanks, Vinnie.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.